You're listening to WPPMLP Philadelphia, People Power Media. My name is Tim Marshall, and you are tuned to the R&B Showcase Radio Show, giving you the best in classic to contemporary R&B, Motown, pop, soul, jazz, and blues, coming at you from the heart and soul of Philadelphia on 106.5 FM.
Hi, this is Dr. Otis Williams of The Temptations, and you're listening to the R&B Showcase with Tim Marshall.
Hi, I'm Tim Marshall. Welcome to the R&B Showcase. From Broadway to The Temptations, it's a conversation with Juwan Jackson. We have special guest co-host in the studio joining us today. We have music historian Mr. Kevin White in the studio. What's happening, Kevin?
Hello, Tim.
Good to have you back with us here today.
Absolutely.
And we've got a recording artist and also radio host, Mr. Kyle Mack.
What's up,
Kyle?
How you doing, man?
Always good to have you joining us here in the studio. Today we have a great show, our previous show with the Delphonics. I'm looking forward to another great show today with this gentleman. Now, he is a singer, he is an actor, a recording artist, and he is the current bass singer for the Temptations. Plus, he appeared in the Broadway musical Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations. And we're very honored to welcome to the show Juwan Jackson. Let's give Juwan a nice round of applause and welcome him to the R&B Showcase.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us, brother. How you doing, man? It's so good to see you, man. How are things going?
Things so great, man. You know, about to start a busy year, a good year. I'm grateful.
And you got all that bass, brother. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got this bass voice? You know, when I met Purvis Jackson of the Spinners, and I said to Purvis, can you take some of that bass out your voice when you talk to me? But tell us about it, brother. Tell us about it. Is everybody, all the good bass singers named Jackson, by the way? I'm just curious.
Listen, I don't know, but I actually do not know where it comes from. I lie. It comes from my grandfather. As a young boy, like, I used to always imitate him, you know, because my grandfather's like 6'4", just big in stature. And so I've always looked up to him. And one day I was just playing and I was like, you know, he's very Southern and he talks like this. And, you know, he's from South Carolina, and, you know, so he's very, so I always used to always imitate him. And then at 12 years old, it stuck. Okay, this is where we are, you know, because before I was trying to sing like tenor, I was like Barry tenors. Mm-hmm. And the ministry said no. And so I had to quickly learn, mm-hmm. you know, how to sing low. And it was actually my mentor from church who was like, you got all this low. Nobody's doing this. Nobody has this. This is very unique. It's very special to help you stand out and it'll put you forward and it'll, you know, give you a career. And so I was like, okay, well, let's try. And if I had not listened to him, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. Mm.
Well, I have a question. So you said your voice changed at 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever like tried to call out of school as your own parents?
The only time I did it was my senior year in high school, right?
Really?
Okay. But let me tell you something. Because I was so cool with the lady who ran the call out center, She automatically knew my voice when I called in. She said, no, bring your butt to school, Juwan. Dude. So I only tried to do it one time.
Okay.
And it got caught.
All right. Well, you were an actor. You spent a lot of time on Broadway. Did the acting and singing, did it start in school? Like, did you start acting on stage in elementary, high school, something like that?
I did. Singing always has always been a part of my life. I'm, you know, I grew up in church. I'm a PK. My grandfather is a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I was always surrounded by music. So for me, it was just something normal. You know, I didn't look at it as a career. I never considered it as a career because I was always singing. Mm-hmm. Acting, I actually got into it in like the seventh, eighth grade.
Okay.
And my first show was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And from there, that was like, you know, I was like part of the kids ensemble to the high schoolers. And then that kind of like started my love for theater and in acting.
Wow. Okay. And then that really just paved the way for you. When did you start Broadway?
I didn't start Broadway until after I graduated college. So my Broadway journey began 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. I was in college and I was a biochemistry biology major because I
wanted
Wow.
Yeah. You're going to be a scientist?
Wow. Oh, absolutely. Oh, wow. I wanted to train like aquatic animals, whales, sharks, dolphins. I wanted to do all, I wanted to be in the water. I'm a water baby. So I thought that's what my career path was, you know?
Oh man, man, I think you lost your market. No, I'm kidding. No, you're in the right place. You're in the right place now.
You're discovered. But then it was once I like started, you know, this is what I tell people, especially young kids who are, and young performers or anybody in general, like trying to go after a career, internships are very important because it lets you know if you're really truly meant for this, for that particular job. And it allows you to kind of switch gears. Instead of going to a four-year university, getting your degree, and now you're like, I don't even want to do what I'm, you know, here for, or what I went to school and spent all this money for. And so I think internships was important. And that was actually, for me, what changed my career path and trajectory. Because I started working in this field, and I was like, yeah, no, that's not for me.
Right.
<At all.
laughs> Right. Right, right.
Juwan, so where are you originally from, Juwan?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, you're from Motown. So yes, I was going to ask you how you prepared yourself for the role of Melvin Franklin in the Broadway musical. So, but you got that bass voice to start. But how did you prepare yourself for that role?
You know, it's so interesting. So my first Broadway show was Motown the Musical.
Okay.
Which got me to New York. And I ended up honestly getting that audition and like getting that show, not knowing it was a Broadway show at all. Mm-hmm. I just auditioned because I thought it was just another Detroit show. At the time, I was doing this show called The Wiz of Motown.
Okay. The Wiz of Motown?
The Wiz of Motown, where they basically had Aretha Franklin playing Dorothy.
Okay.
It was a lot of things going on that was just...
Wait, it was any kind of correlation to the actual The Wiz? Or
yes.
It was, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So my character was basically... I played the bus driver that drove Aretha through to Oz. That was Hitsville, you know.
Okay. All right, I like that.
It was a lot going on in that story.
Creative,
yeah. Reimagined. And so I was doing that show at the time. And I found the audition for Motown the Musical in the classifieds in the newspapers, go figure.
Okay.
Like I never read the newspaper, but on this particular day, I decided like I'm bored. Let me just.
is that how auditions are usually promoted in like print, or like how is that how it typically
back
happens?
In the day, I don't know where it is now because I have not picked up a physical newspaper and I don't know how long.
Okay.
But back then it was so any jobs that you're looking for, any open calls, you can find them on the newspapers in the classified section, like the help wanted, or you can find them on.
They had Backstage, was it? Didn't they have Backstage? That was a
and then there was another website, like a casting website, that listed all the casting calls in the city in your surrounding area. So I would always faithfully, before I went to work, I would spend, you know, quality time searching for auditions that were coming up.
Okay.
And that was one of them, Motown the Musical. So I sent my information in and I auditioned at Marvin Winans Academy, who's a gospel singer in Detroit from the Winans.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And went there, auditioned, open call, then got a call back, sent that in, got a call back. My third audition was at the Motown Museum Studio A, where I auditioned, still not knowing it that it was going to be this big thing. And then my third and last final call was New York.
Pause. You said you auditioned in Studio A at Motown? Motown Museum?
I did.
So what was that? Was that your first time in the building?
That was my very first time in the building. And as a Detroiter, Motown the Museum was just like, basically like, you know, just another house, another building, because I drove past it going to work every day. So for me, I grew up with it. I never ever stepped foot in it. I knew it was there. It just never was a thing for me. So my very first time being in there, experiencing it, was auditioning for Motown the Musical.
That's and the link between the two things, between Motown the Musical and Studio A of Motown, was, I'm sure that was by design. They were auditioning people there on purpose because of the musical.
Yes.
Wow. That's got to be an incredible experience.
Because they were, I basically call it like the American Idol of Broadway, because they were searching the country for, at the time I didn't know, like a bass. And so, you know, I just was like, whatever, bored, because I was like, I want to do something. I want to be, you know, I'm now trying to transition to entertainment and the world of theater and acting. And because before that I did Sparkle Last movie. So that was kind of like where my itch for wanting to professionally do it and seek it out as a career was sparked through that experience. So my last and final call was they flew me to New York. I'm still not known as a Broadway show after all of this. And then that Friday, it was I auditioned 12, 12, 12. And then 12, 13, 12, I booked it.
Wow. Wow. So the next day,
congratulations!
And how did they keep it a secret from you that it was a Broadway? How did it? They kept it under wraps. What did you think it was?
Well, here's the thing: they never kept it under wraps. They just the ignorance of me thinking it was Motown Detroit associated. I never put that it was a Broadway show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So once I actually booked it, they were like, "Okay, well, you know, rehearsals start in January. You have to move to New York." I'm like, why am I moving to New York for a great show? Like, for what? And it's like, no, it's a Broadway show. And I'm like, wait a minute.
I didn't read.
I didn't read. And I was like, wait, I just booked a Broadway show? Like, it was all the emotions, all the things. And then once they told me my salary I was making at the time, which was the most money I had, was making at the, you know, coming straight from college, you know, trying to pay tuition, all the things. Needless to say, I woke everybody in the house up, and it was a celebration.
And needless to say, you did not miss biology at all at that point.
No, I did not.
How long did you spend in the Motown musical show? How many years?
I was open to close. So we opened in 2013 of that year, and then we closed 2015 in January 14th, 2015. So 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how long was the interim between Motown the musical and Ain't Too Proud?
3 years.
Okay. The show, I actually had seen the opening night in Berkeley, and you were not a cast member then. They had somebody else. When did you audition for it? Did you get a call? How did that process work?
So, the way these were, Ain't Too Proud was hush, 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 hush when it first was started. Like, I heard about it years ago when we were doing Motown the musical. They were like, they're doing a Temptations musical, so y'all get ready. That was like 2013. Cut to 2016, they did a workshop reading of it. Right. And I was trying to get in during those that process because my friend, she was playing Diana Ross at the time, was like, hey, you got this bass here that's playing Melvin, and it's not Juwan Jackson, and you need Juwan Jackson. And so, you know, I still couldn't get an audition because I had no agent at the time. I had no way in. Okay. And once they went to Berkeley, I was like, it was basically too late for me because the workshop, you know, version of it, they took those people.
Okay.
Right.
So I didn't, it was my castmates, Ephraim, Jeremy, and Derek, who essentially was talking in the producer's ears like, hey, you need to see this man. Like, you need to see him. If we looking for a bass, we're looking for this person, like, you need to see him. And then I was also friends with the guy who played the role prior to me.
Okay.
So when he got word that he wasn't moving forward, he sent me a message. Was like, hey, friend, I'm not moving forward, but this is your role. Whatever I need to do to help you get in the room, I got your back. And so that was how I ended up getting the appointment, was through, you know, my friends. Mm-hmm. It was like, we need to see him. This is who we need. We don't need to look anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So I had one audition, one call back, and then I finally booked it.
Wow. It's nice to hear that there was not any animosity between the person who was leaving and you who was coming into that role.
Yeah, because, you know, we know the name of the game. Like, sometimes, like, we do a role and we're like, it just isn't working. And you know, this is not for me. This is not my vehicle. Okay. But, you know, I know somebody else that's perfect for it. And that's just how we do. And, you know, my community and my friends and my core group of friends, like, that's how we are. We're like, listen, I got this audition. They sent me for the breakdown. I'm completely the wrong person for it. Have your people send you in for it, you know. And that's just, you know, we kind of stretch each other back in that way because it's only a few of us in this industry in like that Broadway circle. And so support is everything.
That's why it's important to make those connections and to network in the industry. How do you compare and contrast playing the same character, you're playing Melvin Franklin, in Motown the musical and then playing him in Ain't Too Proud the musical? How was it different? Was it a different adjustment to play than that?
It was a deeper adjustment because in Motown, I just got to play like a version of the Temptations, him being a temptation, nothing else, like just singing wise. And Ain't Too Proud, we're going personal life, right, history, like connection wise with the other group members and perspective, right, to the group and to the outside world. And so it was just, it was a deeper bit of digging that I had to kind of find. And knowing, having my Motown connections gave me the connections and the insight I needed to figure out who he was as a person, as a lover, as a just a father, right, as a group member. And I got to get that, those insights through the people that I connected with through my Motown experience.
Right. I can imagine that when you're playing Melvin in The Temptations and Motown the musical, it's not ancillary, but more of a support to the overall Motown story, where in Ain't Too Proud, you are playing the person, his personality, his backstory.
Right. And he's a Motown, I was an ensemble member and I was playing multiple characters. Melvin was one of my characters of, mm-hmm, you know, a bunch. And in this, Ain't Too Proud, it's just Melvin. I get to live, eat and breathe Melvin.
Right.
Were you a Motown fan before you started doing these Motown musicals and plays?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Growing up in Detroit, you had to be, right?
Growing up in Detroit, my grandmother, she always used to joke when I was younger. She was like, baby, if you can sing like Marvin Gaye, you're going to make it. And I was like, sorry, granny.
Now, was The Temptations your favorite group?
They were. Like, mm-hmm, Temptations was a household staple. Yeah. Christmas, holidays, barbecues, parties. Like, you know, that Phoenix Rising album, I always tell, mm-hmm, the guys when I'm in the room, mm-hmm, I'm like, that is the album I actually grew up on, mm-hmm, you know? And so, like, even when we're in the dressing room now and they're playing, you know, they're doing the shuffle and they're playing, and I just, the last, probably like 2 weeks ago, I just started crying. It took over, and I'm like, mm-hmm, I was like, Otis, like, this is my childhood.
Right.
And this is what kind of like gave me inspiration as an artist, as a, like, trying to be an entertainer, like, listening to y'all. And I can't believe, like, I'm actually now singing with y'all. Mm-hmm. And Terry Weeks, who was my favorite.
Right.
I cannot believe it. They just laughed at me. They just laughed it off. Like, oh man, now you're part of the group now. Like, no, y'all don't understand. So yeah. it's a full circle moment for me.
The Temptations have a very interesting dynamic right now. You have two actors, one Broadway actor and one actor was when the things with Tyler Perry. In the same group. I think it's unprecedented. I don't think it's been done before, you know?
No, I've not seen.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Kevin, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question for Juwan. I've had the opportunity over the years to talk to some Temptations. Uh-huh. And one of the funny things is always when they tell me about when they got the call. Uh-huh. Now, you already had a relationship with Otis. So I'm wondering, what was it like for you to get the call to join the group? You know, it's a little different, I guess, when you don't have that relationship beforehand. What was it like for you?
Yeah, okay, so I got two different calls, mind you.
Okay, like, okay.
Let me start there.
Okay.
The first call I got was right before Temptation 60.
Okay.
The album recording.
Right.
And that was, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, and O called me and was like, hey, Juwan, what are you doing? I said, at home like everybody else. What's up? You know? And he was like, I may need you to record this album because there's some things that's happening that may not pan out. Could you possibly fly to LA? And I'm like, absolutely. When you need me there? You know? So he was like, okay, stand by. I'll let you know. So a couple of days go by. He calls me back. He's like, okay, everything's settled. Like, you know, we don't need you. So I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Cut to my show ending. Now I'm just like, you know, gigging and working. This is about like May, I want to say, of 2022, last year.
Right.
I'm at the gym. I just finished working out. And Derek Porter, the tour manager, actually called me. He was like, yo, what's up? Haven't heard from you. Just wanted to catch up. You know, it's small talk. And then he goes, okay, so what do you feel like? How do you feel about coming on the road with us? I said, as what? Doing what?
What am I doing? Am I doing the laundry? Am I carrying the bags? Yeah, what do you want me to do?
You got to be specific, you know?
Yeah.
As what? He said, as a Temptation. I said, I know you're lying. I said, you're lying. I said, wait a minute. Slow walk me. Take me back. You're asking me to join the group. So he said, yes, if you'll have me. He said, you know, I was talking to Shelly. We lost a guy. And as we were talking, we were trying to figure out how we can make a smooth transition because Otis would have to get to know somebody in the middle of a tour, you know, and then we were just like, Juwan, he knows Otis. He has a relationship. He can do it. Otis knows he can do it. Like, this is a perfect fit and a perfect transition. Right. And you know the music, so it wouldn't take any, you know, time to you know, acclimate you. And so I was like, okay, well, send me the terms and agreements and the schedule so I can see what, you know, what it's looking like. Right. And then when he sent that schedule, y'all, like, it lined up perfectly with everything else I had going on.
Awesome.
So nice. Nothing was disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I didn't have to, any gigs that I had during the time or, you know, that I had already made prior commitments to, they were all around when I would be off.
That's great.
Nice.
It lined up so perfectly. Mm-hmm. I was like, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
And I'm sorry. Did you ever meet your predecessor? You ever meet Willie Green before?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I call him Uncle Willie. That's my
aunt. Well, see, I talked to Willie, you know, from time to time. And when I had first heard the news and I was talking to him about it, he was in so much support of you. He could not have been happier
Very
for you.
Very supportive. Yes.
He called himself a Juwan Jackson fan.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I love him so much. Like, he was, you know, because they're not so many bass singers out there.
Right, right.
To hear one and to be in the presence of one, I always run to. And so he and I had a connection, you know, that were cool. We stayed in contact. Like, he would give me advice, dating advice, relationship advice, when I'd be like, yo, my girlfriend is getting on my nerves right now. You know, and so we had established a relationship prior. So once it happened, he called and was like, they got the perfect man for the job, and I love you, and I'm supporting you, and I know you're going to do this, and anything that you need from me, like, call me, let me know. I got your back. And so, you know, that, and also that's important to me. Relationships and building bridges is very important to me, because I don't want to do anything that compromises my integrity, my moral compass, or anything. And so I was just very hell-bent on making sure that that relationship was kept intact.
Right.
So, yes.
And that's great on you, because especially in this group, that's not always the case. People don't usually have, you know, you don't hear a lot of great relationships for people who are leaving, who are coming in. So the fact that you two made that effort makes the story so much sweeter. So good on the both of you.
Although there have been, the Temptations are very supportive. Many members are supportive of the others. Richard Street was very supportive of Theo.
Right.
Replaced
right.
him. So you do have members that are supportive of the other
members.
I'm
saying it doesn't always happen.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
But, it does happen. So, you know, good on you guys.
When you're a fan of the group, you know, you like all the members. And that's, and we definitely, yeah, we know you're definitely a great asset to this group and being part of it. But I want to ask you about Ain't Too Proud is a very high energy musical with a lot of intricate choreography. What was the preparation and rehearsal process for that type of choreography?
It was a 6-week process before I even met the guys and met the group. So they had me a 6-week intensive training just to learn the music and the choreography. The music was easy. But although for the Berkeley run, everything was like octaves up. And so I came in, I was like, I can actually do that. Let me do the original note. Like, let's go back to what it was written. And so it was just changing the music around to make it authentic and true to the story. But then it was that, those dancing moves, because I'm not a dancer.
Okay.
I club dance. I always tell people I club dance. I, you know, stand rhythm, but choreography and like musical theater is a beast. It's Sergio Trujillo's, you know, choreography with our associate choreographer, Edgar Godino.
And you guys won a Tony for your choreography too.
Yeah, we won a Tony.
Award, yes.
We did. But I also, when we got nominated for that, when the Tonys came out, I said, I would love to have been nominated. I said, but I would be pissed if we did not get nominated for best choreography. I said, first of all, I'm dancing too damn hard. We better get nominated. Right, we better win.
That's right.
We better win.
Right.
And, you know, thankfully we did. So I would have to pull a Kanye West. You know, you'll never know what happened if we
right.
win.
Right.
You know?
Kevin?
What's the biggest difference between the Broadway choreography and the choreography you're doing now? And do you ever slip up and go between the two?
Excellent question. No,
I do slip up. let me tell you what. I Ain't Too Proud. That's the only number that I slip up on because it was so similar. You know, it's the rock step.
And
so I'm like, no. We go back to the Temptations. Like, you're an actual Temptation now. Like,
Yes, it's very interesting.
But the choreography from the Temptations and Ain't Too Proud is night and day.
I think it's very different. Yes.
Temptations is, I can lay in the cut it's just smooth, you
right.
know.
Right.
With Me Too Proud, he's like, high energy.
That's what I'm saying. You have to do the Broadway version of it.
Right, right.
I always said the Temps choreography was more like a march.
More like a march. Me Too Proud is basically like all the tempos are up.
Right.
So they sped those tempos up in Me Too Proud so it can keep going. With the group, it's just, you know, we're at I feel like 1632. Like, it's a lot easier, you know. Right. I don't sweat as much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How is it like now that you're a member of the group? What is the, you feel like good dynamic with everybody? I mean, the elephant in the room is that you're the youngest member of the group. You are 35?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I can't imagine though that would be much of an issue for you as far as like how you interact with everybody. Like the culture difference, like the age difference, it shouldn't be that much of a big deal.
It's no difference at all. Only because I'm an old soul to heart. Mm-hmm. So all of my friends are all older. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, like that's just been my vibe. I've been trying to be grown before I was grown. Right. So
you remind us of somebody in the room.
They're making fun of me because I'm the same way. My Kevin's my best friend and he's like, he's 82.
They forget how old I am. They're like, oh, you've been here before. And I'm like, they're like, oh, nephew, that's right. You're 35. Mm-hmm. And that's when we go on interviews or doing something, because we had this interview. I'm not going to name the name, but he just kept kept poking the bear because I was the youngest and like new, and he didn't do his work on who I was or what I had
brought
prior to that. So it was a very, and then I had to kind of like, after it was said, then I broke down. I was like, I got two kids, you know, babies here. Like I come with a Grammy nomination. I come with this. I come with that. Like you ain't do your research, sir, but you know, it's okay.
But being that youth, you're also able to connect with students though. And young people. I mean, I see you do a lot of things with the young people in the schools, singing in the schools with young people and we're working with them. So that's a good connection to make.
You know, platforms is keeping music and education because that's a dying art and that's usually the first funding to go. And so I'm very keen on making sure that music stays in theater and, you know, musical theater and just, you know, arts, you know, arts program stays into fine arts program stays into the school system because that gave me outlets to discover what I wanted to do. And it kept me out of trouble and kept me engaged, you know, and when you take out those extracurricular activities like that to hone musical, you know, theater or music or band or choir, you know, you don't get fully realized kids, you know, well-rounded kids. And so I'm also a board member of Rosie's Theater Kids, the organization. And so, yeah, that's one of my platforms.
Now, where is that based out of, Rosie's Theater? Is that New York?
It's a New York-based organization. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I work in education, too. So give some advice to the kids about this business and just in life in general.
Well, what I always say is, you know, learn your craft. Learn everything about it and never stop learning. I've been in it, you know, coming up on 15 years now, and I'm still learning. There are still things that I do not know. And I'm like, oh, help me, you know, make sure you're always training, make sure you're always, you know, practicing, and make sure you're always gleaming from somebody who has done it. There's a great example of it. And don't let your no stop you. Let your no motivate you and encourage you.
Tim Marshall on the R&B Showcase with special guest Juwan Jackson of The Temptations. He's the current bass singer with the group. And he's got some new music coming out soon, but we're going to go ahead and play his Christmas track from Juwan Jackson, and it's called White Christmas on the R&B Showcase. White Christmas and a Sound of the Season from Juwan Jackson, featuring Isaiah Templeton, and his Christmas 24/7 on the R&B Showcase. Tim Marshall with special guest, co-host in the studio, recording artist Kyle Mack, and radio host and music historian Kevin White, and we've got our very special guest from The Temptations. He's the current bass singer from Broadway to The Temptations. We're having a conversation with Juwan Jackson. Kyle.
One of the things I always like about watching, and I've seen you with The Temps several times now. You haven't been with them too long, but I think I've seen you quite enough. You are very much yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You bring your own voice. Absolutely. You bring your own dynamic, energy, your own element.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Because there's been, I don't know if it's been so much of a conscious decision in the past where bass singers might sing something more traditionally, but you sing things very much like you, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. And is that a conscious decision? Was that a discussion or was it, you know, did you sneak it in there? What happened with that?
No, I actually asked first before I joined the group because we were in rehearsal. My first rehearsal was in Seattle, Washington, and we were in there like just singing over the stuff. And I was asking, you know, our music director, TC, and Otis at the time, while we were in there, I said, I know Melvin, you know, you were trying to stick close to the album cuts because it's very signature, it's memorable. I said, however, you know, the live version that y'all are doing is like night and day. So can I put my spin on it? What are my limitations around it? And they were like, go for what you know. Say less. Mm-hmm. You know, which is fun too, because now, you know, I get to bring my own self and my own artistry to the group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas before I'm playing somebody else, I'm trying to sing note for note what was written. And now I get to just be expressively myself.
That's how you help establish your own identity with the group and put your own stamp on it. I think it's a great thing. You're doing a great job with them so far. We appreciate coming out to see you, Kyle.
And I would like to, it seems very clear to a lot of us that the group, with the collection of voices that they currently have now, including you and Tony Grant and, you know, Terry Weeks, that the sound of the group is probably the most youthful that it has been in a while. I know that the Temptation 60 album, when I was talking to Otis before, he said that was going to be the last one. We're going to call it the anniversary. Are you able to say, or have you heard, or you feel anything that maybe the Temptations will go back into the studio in the near future with this new sound?
New album.
I mean, we'll never say never.
I hope so.
I'm not trying to scoop you or make you say anything that you're not supposed to, but you know, it's quite obvious to us that now there's between Temptation 60 and at the group currently, there is a very drastic lineup change that maybe that this lineup might want to put some stuff down on wax, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would love to do that. I'll say that.
Okay.
I would love.
And we would love for you to do it too. We want to see this lineup have a new album.
Right.
That's what we want.
I do too.
Okay. I can say it.
That was a very diplomatic answer, Juwan. Thank you.
Juwan's doing what he's supposed to do. We appreciate you, brother. Right. Appreciate you, man. So talk about your experiences again with the Temps. What are some of the places you traveled so far with the Temps?
Oh.
Where have you been?
We just did a London tour, Europe tour.
Right.
Amsterdam, Netherlands, Germany, Lindenburg. Mm. We were in Paris. We were in just about everywhere. And those are actually some of those places were my very first time ever being there.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to explore the world in this way with this group, it's just been such an experience and a memorable one. And one that I'll always, you know, tell stories about. I get to tell my kids and, you know, hopefully they tell them their kids about this, my experience, but we've been everywhere.
It's interesting just getting in the group and all of a sudden you're going overseas and you're all everywhere, you're going all over the place.
That was one of the selling points for me to say yes, honestly.
Travel and people go around the world.
You're like, you know, you're like, oh, we're going to be going to London for, you know, to make up dates for the, you know, the pandemic,
right?
And I said, oh, Europe for a month? Oh, count me in. Yes.
Yeah.
For free? Yes, I'll go.
It seems like very much like baptism by fire. Mm. You know, you got thrown into the wood. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, through and through. But it's been a fun experience. And you know, everybody has helped me along the journey. Otis always, you know, he's baby Barry Gordy. Like he's very much like, we'll be performing. And then I remember my first, like probably two shows, because I dance a lot next to him. Right. And like, if I was like misstepping, like he'll slap my hand or, you know, or he'll come off. He's like, all right, y'all, you know, some of them harmonies are a little spooky tonight. So let's get on back, you know, and we will have rehearsal tomorrow so we can clean up these harmonies or we're going to get back in rehearsal so we can, you know, get these moves down because, you know, Juwan, he was on the wrong foot tonight. And I'm like, oh, my bad. You know, so
get on a good foot.
But he very much got that, you know, Motown vibe because Barry Gordy was just like,
yeah,
too. like where he, we would do a whole show, mm-hmm. you know, in Broadway, nothing changed. It's mm-hmm. supposed to change, rather. Right. But we would do a whole show and Barry Gordy would be there. And instead of saying hi, the first thing you say, the Temptations tonight, y'all were a little off on y'all pitch, and I don't like the storyline. So we're going to change this. We're going to change this. And we're like, well, hey, to you too, Barry. What's up?
He gets right to the point, doesn't he?
Yes, right to the point. And it's that very multi. And had I not had that experience before, I probably wouldn't be able to know how to experience that, you know, this experience, because Motown just was run, you know, the way they were run mm-hmm. just very militant, not militant, but like, mm-hmm. we want y'all to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be every time there's, mm-hmm. you know, because that's just what it is. And so because I'm used to it, I expect it. I'm like, come on, bring it to me. Right. But everybody else, you know, Terry and Ron and, mm-hmm. and Tony and mm-hmm. just all the fellas, it's just a camaraderie and a mm-hmm. love. They are there to help me anything I need at any time.
One thing that I've observed about you, and actually it really came into, it was very obvious. One of the last times I saw you, you guys were performing Silent Night. And because of who was singing lead and what part might have been missing in the harmony, you actually filled in a note above what you would usually sing. You have a lot of range.
Yes.
Now, you can sing tenor all the way down the bass. Do you get to utilize that as much as you would like? I mean, or are you strictly bass all the time? And I'm not talking just the Temptations. Do you get to have anything where you can sing in a higher register?
Not often, but you know, I've told my agents and managers, I'm like, hey, listen, if I don't use it, I'm gonna lose it. So send me out. but also in my, like, I got some new stuff coming out. I get to, that I'm working on, and I get to like showcase that part of me.
Okay.
And you know, it just keeps me fresh, you know, as an actor, as a performer, you know, I don't ever want to be just like labeled as just mm-hmm. one thing.
You don't be typecast or pigeonholed.
Right.
Yeah. Because getting typecast is a very real thing.
Right.
And so I've been working, trying to get out of that. Okay. For a while, because you know, A2 probably see you and they're like, oh, he's a bass, and mm-hmm. so we're gonna only bring him in for bass, lower speaking voices, mm-hmm. older guys, mm-hmm. even though he looks like he's 22. Like,
now, on that same note, what is the lowest song? What is the lowest song that you have to sing in the show currently? What makes you sweat a little bit?
Yes or no?
Yeah,
that's a new one. New song.
No, it's the lowest I have to sing, and mm-hmm. I just remember I was like, yeah, I'm like, oh, does Melvin Amy sing these notes? Why are you asking? Why you have to do it? He's like, because you got it and you can. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. Because I was like, why? I'm like, you know, look at the, you know, even in some of the songs that we're singing, like Rain, for mm-hmm. example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was just like, oh, Mel, what? Wait, why am I doing this? I'm like, first of all, you can't even hear me. You have to turn me up. It's like, it's going to be there. Trust it. And so I'm like, all right, but those are, you know, those two songs, they get me sweating.
Yeah. Well, you see, there has not been a live show yet that I've seen you on where your bass vocals have not been very clear.
And it
hasn't always been the case in years past, but you are very mm-hmm. pronounced mm-hmm. in the harmony. Mm-hmm. So when you sing it, we hear you,
mm-hmm.
and it, which is a really, really awesome thing. Mm-hmm. And you said that you have some of your own music coming out. You have some projects that you're working on. What's going on with that? What do you have out right now?
So, well, I don't have anything right now. I'm in the studio. I've been spending my time, like my off time, in the studio.
Okay.
So I got two double single coming out that hopefully be finished by the spring, because I feel like it's the spring summer beat, summer song, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it's like, you know, it's going to be a cover, a song that's, you know, very popular cover song.
Okay.
I can't do, you know.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, we played a Christmas song already on you, you know, the Christmas song.
And I appreciate the love. Yeah, thank you.
He's on the station now. So.
And and Kevin White did some research. Did you work with the Wiggles recently?
I did.
Now, what is that? I'm not familiar. What is that, Wiggles? What is that?
The Like the Wiggles, like the Temptation, the Wiggles are infamous and popular, and they've been around for.
Okay.
Ever. They're right. A kids group based in Australia.
Okay,
well, that's Australia, great. And they were celebrating, I think, 30 years in the business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so the lead Wiggle, mm-hmm. Anthony, he came to see Ain't Too Proud and when we were in Toronto doing an out of town run.
Right.
And came when we came to Broadway, and then he kind of fell in love with myself, James Harkness.
Right. Because James works with him a lot.
Yeah, James had an actual whole show with them that he curated during the pandemic.
Right.
Called the James Cafe.
And then for the listeners and viewers who don't know, James Harkness played Paul Williams in the Ain't Too Proud musical.
And so then Anthony brought on Taylor and I was like, hey, we're doing the song with, you know, as our anniversary song, our famous song, Fruit Salad. We would love for you guys to feature on it. And, you know, what's crazy is when we recorded that, James, myself, and Taylor were supposed to go in the studio at the exact same time and record it. However, something ended up coming up for me. I ended up booking something, so I couldn't record it at the same time. So I went to the studio and recorded separately.
Oh, right.
Now, you know, they sent the song proper, and they, I guess they at first wanted us to do like backgrounds. So I was like, I'm just going to sing the whole song and then backgrounds and add my stuff and whatever they, you know, they keep. And they end up keeping me as the lead. I was like, so I ended up leading like most of the song, or, you know, portion of the song, which was fun. It was unexpected. And so, you know, that was that experience. And, you know, we got a lot of other things just coming up with the Wiggles too. That is, I'm excited about.
That's great.
Well, speaking of other artists, what other artists do you like? Do you listen to? What's on your iPod right now? What do you listen to?
If you still have an iPod.
Well, what are they using now? Your phone.
You know, Gregory Porter right now, I'm really heavily on.
Yes.
Yes.
Gregory Porter, I love his style.
Baritone bass vocals, man.
Yeah, I love his instrumentation, the way musicality of, you know, the way his album, his sound is, and, you know, just in the studio creating my sound. I've been kind of listening to that. I've been also listening to my top favorite R&B singers are Brandy and Tank.
Okay.
And Joe.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Those are my favorite three.
Joe, yeah. Okay. He's good.
Oh, wait, I got some trivia. Do you know which one of those three people produced for the Temptations back in 2000?
That's a good one.
I know the answer.
Which one of those three people's produced? I'm going to say Joe.
Yes.
Good. Give a round of applause.
There we go.
You get the prize.
it's actually the last song that the Temptations had a music video for. I'm Here.
With Taylor.
Joe produced that track.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good trivia. I didn't know that. I mean, it would make sense because Joe's sensibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry. Joe and Terry Weeks sound the same thing for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say, you know, Terry Weeks. Terry Weeks has been one of my favorite voices in the Temptations as well for as long as I can remember. So you were talking about full circle experiences before. He and I had a similar thing when I recorded a project back with the Temps in 2017, where he and I had did a duet together. Terry was the one who got me into the touring entertainment unit when I was in the Air Force. So Terry's really good for stuff like that, man. Terry's such a great guy. Has he been able, like, is anything that you've been able to learn or draw from him and your experiences with him on the road? Maybe similar to when, just so I can relate to you, similar to something that I might have been able to do?
I feel like I draw from Terry all the time. Terry is, he's a gentle giant.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you know, short in stature, but like, big in presence. And just anything, I just realized, like, he's been in multiple groups and has multiple like lives that he's been. And so he just speaks to, you know, all of those things, and like, you know, he knows a younger version of himself and me, and so he'll speak, you know, speak encouraging words and give me advice and on anything I ever ask. And so he's just been that guy for me.
Well, Kyle,
you did an album with you did a song. Well,
we did,
Terry.
So
All I Need.
Yeah, Terry and I recorded a duet together, and Otis was actually featured prominently on the tail end of that song. We did a cover of All I Need about, what, 5-6 years ago now?
2017.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Dr. Otis Williams presents Kyle Mack. Shaky Ground was the album. Kyle was on it. So if you came down here, we would have you sing a song with Kyle. You know, you all got to do a little something together, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't do this interview to plug my music.
Well, just, hey.
But
it's all the same thing, right?
It's all the same thing. All connected. Seize the opportunity.
It's all connected, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. But man, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule today and sharing this history with us and being part of the show and letting us know what you're doing, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all for having me. It's fun.
Now, how long are you off a little while and you go back on the road soon? Or
I am here for two more days, and then we're doing Grammy Week.
Okay.
What's Grammy Week? Nice.
So, you know, the Grammys are next week, and so because of that, it's a lot of events surrounding it. So we're performing actually for the Music Cares event that is honoring Smokey Robinson. And
awesome. Doing that with the Four Tops are doing that too, yeah.
The Four Tops are doing it, Layla Hathaway, John Legend, a whole bunch of folks.
What a blessing to still have Barry Gordy with us, though. You know,
absolutely.
You know, the man has started Motown, and he's just left this legacy for generations of people to enjoy, you know, to continue to enjoy. But
I think the secret is being vegan, because that man.
Oh, Kevin has his hands up in there because he's a vegan too.
That's right.
And I've been making fun of
him. I tried it. I'm a baby vegan. Mm. I can't. I got to go back to the meat sometimes.
Not me. I
got to
have my steak and potatoes, brother. Right. I'm telling you.
I love my pot roast. I'm sorry.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you on that. So
Tim mentioned the Four Tops. Now, when you join the Temptations, you know that there are a lot of double bills with the Four Tops on the tour. Now, did you walk into the friendly rivalry? Like, what is the dynamic between what have you observed between the dynamic between the Temptations and the Tops when it comes to opening and closing? And
I've learned earlier on, like, I just before I actually was like in the, like, I was just coming around, and it's very playful. Loki is he's the one that talks to he keeps the rival going.
Right.
He's the one that'll go in talking like, oh, here Tim come. All right. Everybody go. The top, you know, you need a top in order. Like, he'll do the play on word thing. Like, he's that. But, you know, it's all love, though. At the end of the day, it's all love. And I love it. And I remember when I first joined, when they first heard me actually sing. Because, you know, when you come in a group, and you knew the new man on the block, everybody like side eye, like, is he actually a bass? Like, can he do it?
Right.
And I just remember getting the word back. It was just like, and I'm not gonna say the word, but it's like, this MF-er can blow.
right.
Like, we gonna have to pull up like this line up now. Like, we nervous, you know. And so it's all friendly competition and love, you know, and they're all cool.
When I interviewed Richard Street from the Temptations, he'd been on the show multiple times, you know, prior to his passing, but God rest his soul. But Richard Street said the same thing, it's all love. You know, talk about being with Motown and the battle of the groups and the Four Tops, and the Four Tops are Richard Street's favorite group. So,
you know, they're trying to get us to, all the promoters are trying to get us to do the battle.
I would love to see that
battle
the groups, and they haven't done it in years.
Well, the last time I saw them do it was when they were on Broadway, which would have been about 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Bruce? Was Bruce in there?
Bruce was in there at that time.
This year they're trying. Like, it's 30 some years that they've been touring together. The Temptations, the Tops,
right?
It's the '80s, yeah.
And so, you know, who's to say that, you know, they may put it in a show or stop.
Well, it makes sense, because if you think about it, the famous Temps and Tops battle that broadcast on Motown 25 was, what, 1983? Mm-hmm. It's 2023.
Yes.
So the math adds up. It's an anniversary year.
Yeah,
It's an anniversary year. And they were talking about it when we were in Germany. Mm-hmm. And it was actually for Otis's birthday. We were offered at dinner, and you know, they was like, well, we might build, you know, this next tour as, you know, the anniversary of the Temps and the Tops tour together.
That'd
so
be great. Yeah.
We'll see what comes out of that. You know, and we know we got some new music in the lineup for this tour coming up. So I'm excited about that, releasing that to kind of make it fresh and, you know, shake things up a little bit.
Yeah. I actually one time had a conversation with Billy Bannister.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he said, this was him. I don't have verifiable proof of this, but he said he thinks that the Temps Tops tour is the longest running continuous tour in show business history.
Mm-hmm. It can be very, very well possible.
It's got to be
the name of the group, because it's not out there, none.
Yeah. So you mentioned some new songs. Are you going to go deeper into the catalog of the Temptations? Is that
They're going to go. I guess they're going to go deeper and then kind of like change out some things that, you know.
Maybe they'll have you do I Truly, Truly Believe, that the Melvin lead.
You know, I want all the Melvin leads. they try, you know, Otis was like, we're going to have you do Old Man River for this, you know, one of these. And I'm like,
that's a show tune. You don't be able to do that, right? That's a show tune, brother. That's a show tune.
Show tune. But, for me, it's just trying to bring it justice and trying to make sure I do it right. Mm-hmm. Because everybody, again, I'm walking in with side eyes. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. Who you got?
Listen, right. You did your thing on Silent Night, though. You did Silent Night. You kicked it.
It's always that comparison. So, you know,
But like we said, you bring yourself into it, into the role. So it'll definitely be me. That's a great thing, man. I wish you much success with it, with the Temptations. I look forward to seeing you on the road soon. And next time you come to the area, I think they're coming to our area pretty soon. So
I'm not aware. Kevin's usually got
the February
in the area.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool.
Yep. Right.
I don't think we come that way in February.
Well, for me, the area is anywhere from between about Connecticut and Virginia.
Yes.
I'll be the South Jersey, New York shows, in Philadelphia. Kevin's all over the place.
You know, Kevin and I, our driving range for Temptations concert is about like 3 or 4 hours. So
okay.
Yeah, we'll be there to support you. I want to thank you for being part of the show here. Let's give a round of applause to Juwan Jackson of the Temptations.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations, brother. And I want to thank our special co-host here, Mr. Kevin White, and of course, Mr. Kyle Mack.
And it's awesome to be here with you all today.
All right. I'm Tim Marshall. Thank you for joining us for R&B Showcase.